time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to it. Roundtable for this Thursday, the 21st of May. You're just getting up from a third nap. Yes, it's still Thursday. He's the host of The Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, coast to coast, host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, also available all around the world. Please welcome Bill Carroll. Hi, Bill.
On the World Wide Web.
On the World Wide Web.
Do people still say www. Dot. Yeah, they
do. Do they? I don't think
grandparents do.
Yeah.
HTTP. No, stop. Stop, Nana. Broadcasting legend and CEO and co-founder of Red Light Holland, also on the program, his first time on the roundtable, a pal, Todd Shapiro. How are you, buddy?
Jay, Ryan, Bill, thank you for having me. The legend is a little much, but I appreciate the intro. It's great to be here. Thank you again.
I'm just upset I didn't get the legend intro.
He pours it on thick the first day, and then it all goes downhill. Trust me on that.
No, well, truth be told, Bill is the legend here. Well, I mean, Bill's experience, you outnumber all of us combined, I think.
Oh, now you're calling
him old. I'm not liking where this is going quite so much.
All right, let's start off with a lady who's getting a lot of attention. She's made a lot of headlines. She's a little bit different than one of these chief medical officers of health that we've seen across the country. Her name is Dr. Bonnie Henry. She speaks in very plain language. It doesn't sound as complicated and as complex when she breaks down what's going on. And she came out today and basically said that a second wave of this virus of COVID-19 is inevitable. Have a listen.
You know, the optimist in me would like to think that maybe it will go away and it'll the virus will mutate and won't become as... But you know what? We've never had a pandemic in recorded history that has not had a second wave. So now's our time to regroup, learn as much as we can over the coming weeks and months, and prepare. Create a buffer so that we can get our economy going, our schools going, work going, but not to the level that we were in December, for example, where we have opportunities for the virus to spread rapidly amongst a large number of people.
Bill, I like her because there's no BS there. Yeah, second wave, it's pretty common. In fact, that's always the way it's been when it comes to pandemics. She cuts through the crap and tells it like it is. But she also points out the fact that, okay, we've got more knowledge now. We have more ability to see it coming. So let's get ourselves prepared because it is coming. I tend to like the information that she's putting out there. I mean, I don't love the fact it's happening, but there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, just listen to what she said. Maybe the virus will mutate and it'll become weaker. Last time I studied Darwin, that's the weak don't survive. The strong survive. It's no different for viruses. So I think she's probably right there. Everybody tells you, all the scientists are saying the same thing. A lot of them are saying it'll be the fall, but it could be sooner than that. I don't believe for 1 minute we'll handle it any better. I really don't. Do you see any evidence to suggest that we've learned a whole lot? I mean, we're still, as of yesterday, figuring out face masks, right? The most common sense thing in the world. It's like, well, we're still studying it. We're not sure. Are you still studying coughing or sneezing right in my face? Because that sounds like a bad thing. So a face mask cannot possibly hurt. And yet in the beginning, they were telling us they would hurt. Now, dare not speak of opening the borders, the very people who didn't want to close them in the first place. No, you know what? This what bothers me is we have done our part. We were asked to shelter in place until they got it under control and got a plan. Now we're going to find out if governments all over the country, all over the world, have been doing their part in preparing for this next wave when it comes, and I have zero confidence that they have. But I'll tell you, if you try to lock down entire countries again, people are not going to stand for it. It is not going to go well. This should have been done community by community in the first place. We never should have had nationwide lockdowns. Why is Saskatoon locked down? Because Montreal has a lot of cases of COVID-19. Didn't make any sense then. Sure doesn't make sense now.
All right, Todd, what's your confidence level like when you hear about officials having to handle this perhaps all over again?
The truth be told, I think Bill sort of nailed it here that, listen, we've had a couple of months now of kind of coping with it, and we all cope with it personally in our own ways. And there was a lot of paranoia at first. I think government officials didn't really know what was going on. I think that's because the medical officials didn't really know what was going on. I've personally spoken to some pretty high-level medical officials who really were kind of freaked out by this thing. But at the end of the day, between it being shut down, you think of a 33-year-old auto mechanic who needs to earn his 2 weeks paycheck every couple of weeks for the month to be able to help pay the bills and provide for his children. He wants to get back to work. And to be honest, just because I've been fortunate enough to kind of work from home and being in a situation where I don't necessarily have to go out as much as the next individual, I don't think we should limit them. So I think when it comes to what Bonnie is saying, you know, it's going to be here. And I think you're right. We have to deal with this as individuals. You know what? It's, you say a wave, I say a rave. My dad doesn't want to go to a rave anymore, but when I was 25, I might want to do that. There are hazards involved. And it sounds like a silly analogy, but it's the truth. Let people decide for themselves, but at least practice the social distancing measures that have been put into place.
And people only know what they experience, right? Like, there was a roof job being done just outside my house this morning, right outside my bedroom, actually. It was really interesting because I noticed because they started at 7:30 as opposed to 8. But I digress. Anyway, I walked outside. I was on my front porch when the guys were doing lunch. And they were literally talking nonstop about COVID-19. But what I did notice about the crew is they were all maintaining a safe distance. So if their experience through this first wave is that nobody gets sick, they're going to take that through a second wave, right? People are only going to know what their personal experience has been. And unfortunately, we talked about this at the beginning, until you've been touched by this or you know someone that's been touched by it, chances are you're just thinking to yourself, hey, hasn't really affected my bubble, hasn't affected my social circle, even my block. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So it's really, like Bill said right off the top, and he nailed it, it's the wild, wild west. And we'll just see what happens when we get to wave two.
The pandemic, of course, has also allowed us to think about things perhaps that weren't top of mind beforehand. And this is coming from a lot of experts and advocates today, saying we need more public toilets in communities across the country. If people need to wash their hands or use a restroom, you know, Bill, you used to live in Toronto. This city does not have a lot of public bathrooms that you can use and access readily.
No, we just built a new train system in here, and I think they put in, I don't know, 3 bathrooms in 10 stations or something. I mean, it's just, I know, and the Toronto subway system used to have bathrooms. Slowly they close one by one. But it's a tough one. I understand you got truckers and other people out there. You can't just zip into a Tim Hortons anymore and use the bathroom. But isn't a public bathroom about the last place you would want to go right now? I'm telling you, if we ever get to go back to work, I'm wearing a diaper. I'm not going into the company bathrooms and sharing them with anyone, because that's a dirty place, right? So public bathrooms, man, we better spend a lot of time and money keeping them clean, or that will be the place where this thing spreads the most.
On the list of things I didn't want to visualize, that was number one. Okay, Todd, you know, you
sure
go around.
Sure, it's a comfortable adult diaper. Tell I'm wearing it. I can horseback ride everything.
Okay. Todd, is this something we need, or perhaps Bill's right? Maybe this is something people would avoid completely.
Public bathrooms, I've been avoiding, gentlemen, my whole life. So that's just, you know, and I know when you got to go, let's be honest, you got to go, okay? And there's situations when you do have to go. I just don't think it doesn't make sense why that's what we're worried about right now, public bathrooms. I think what we should be telling people is, hey, if you plan to go out for a couple hours, the way you tell your children before a long drive, make sure you take care of yourself, because you probably won't want to go in a public bathroom that we'll eventually maybe be building with our tax dollars. I think it's silly. I think it's a silly thing to bring up. Why would we want to be in something that's enclosed with every single germ in the world, including now Corona and the second wave of Corona and the mutated waves of Corona? So no, I don't think we need more bathrooms right now. That's not what we should be focusing on at all.
Yeah, and if we can keep the more bathrooms conversation sort of centralized around not necessarily myself or Todd or Bill or even you, Ryan, and talk about the people that really need them, the homeless population, you know, this is mm-hmm. a major issue. If we can find a way to have crews that can keep these sanitary, if we can find a way that these just don't end up becoming shooting galleries for people to do hard drugs, then it can actually be a public service, because it's certainly a lot better than, you know, people going in the street or in corners of buildings, which is what
we're seeing right now. Yeah, but that's an issue separate of COVID-19, right? That's always been an issue, and we do need to find a way to deal with that. But what we really need to do is let's get our act together, get our contact tracing in order, get ready to deal with this thing as a lot of small fires so it doesn't become a brush fire again. And then we can go back to the Tim Hortons bathrooms and the highway rest stop bathrooms like we always could and just be, as we were saying earlier, we're going to have to be a whole lot more careful. Now it's going to be on us. It's going to be about personal responsibility, ultimately. If anything, people are going too far. Saw a lady driving in her convertible yesterday on my way to the grocery store wearing a mask. I mean, you talk about they've had, what, 2 months, 10 weeks to get the message right, and people still don't know what the hell a mask is for.
No, but Bill, that's
who are
just
you protecting
for black
flies. In your car?
Bill, that's just for black fly season. That, you know, she just didn't want to swallow bugs. Come on.
Yeah.
It's for the midges. It's for the midges.
I like how you're telling people they're going too far. The man who was just seconds ago riding a horse in an adult diaper. I mean, okay. Let's
move
on.
At least you can get the disease in the bathroom. You can't get it in your cover. And the mask is not to protect anyone else. It's to protect them from you, not the other way around. There's no one in your car. Take off the stupid mask.
A non-COVID story. Millennials are having families. Boomers are retiring. And both are increasingly choosing apartments and condos over houses, according to a new study and some data analysis that's been going on from the folks at Environics. Todd, that kind of, I'm not sure it's surprising given the cost and price of houses, but it does kind of shed light on what the new normal may look like going forward when it comes to the real estate market.
Well, it's a really interesting time right now. Toronto, and listen, I haven't been in Toronto for about 10 weeks, so I'm very blessed to have a place up in Muskoka. I didn't listen to the premier. I didn't care. I have two young kids, and we got the hell out of Dodge. But we live in a condo, and we love living in a condo with kids. We love the action. We love the amenities. We love the restaurants around us and just the culture of the city. And what I think is interesting, though, is will we continue this trend of even though will condos come down in price now because people are fearing it? So will that sort of drive more of the millennial to the condo? Or will people be afraid of the downtown urban lifestyle? And will they want to migrate to the suburbs and to even perhaps places like Barrie or Orillia and start going east or west as well? So I think the next couple of years, if our paranoia subsides, condos will always be the way. If it doesn't, I think you're going to see the suburbs increase. But at the end of the day, I think people want to be in the action, especially between the ages of, say, 20 and 40. And they're not going anywhere from the heart of it all.
Bill?
Hate to bring it back to this virus, but it does come back to this. First of all, a real estate client of mine said all their new clients, they're selling a lot of homes right now in Ottawa, all people from Toronto. Because of COVID-19, they want to live in a place that's less crowded. So whatever we've seen statistically happening in the last year, I think because of this becomes largely irrelevant. Also, I have an older relatives, both medical doctors, both about 68 years old, who were already planning the seniors home where they were going to live in a retirement community, which, as you need more medical help, you kind of get moved from one area to the other. And that's where they intended to spend the rest of their lives. They just got rid of the purchase of that. And they're buying a little condo, low maintenance. They do not want to be with other people when they get older after what's happened. So this is a game changer for real estate.
Really interesting stuff. Jay, final word?
Just to reiterate what Todd said, I think quickly, if you are between the ages of 20 and 40, you really want to be in the thick of things. You want to be in the urban centers. You want to be able to go to concerts. You want to be able to go to the newest restaurants. But I think once you get out of that demographic, you're starting to want to get out of Dodge. And I think this even magnifies that and multiplies that even more.
I'm just looking up concerts and restaurants in the dictionary. What are those?
Yeah, thing of the past, my friend.
Way back in days of yore.
They're virtual. They're pretty cool.
Great chat. We appreciate the time today, guys.
See you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.